welcome to the Church of the Redeemer's Weekly Podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this week's sermon, and we hope that you will follow us at www.cotrb.org, and may God continue to bless you.
All the time, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Years ago, a sister I grew up with was walking past my house, and we started talking about being saved. When I asked her if she was saved, she said to me that she had heard that only certain people were chosen, and how would she know if she was one of them, one of the chosen? I told her to ask God to save her, and she would find out. It's that simple. Lord, you help somebody just then. Praise the Lord. Will you bow in prayer with me? Precious God, we come and we need you right now to do what only you can do, is to minister your word to us. We ask, oh God, that you would indeed have your way with this word. Prepare every heart, oh God, to receive from you. Bless us to worship you corporately. Bless us to receive individually and corporately. We bind every foul spirit that's been assigned against this word, against this people, against this place at this time. God, we ask that you lose your presence, lose your power in this place. And indeed, Father, please demonstrate through war in the heavenlies and on earth right now that you are indeed Lord here at the Church of the Redeemer Baptist. And it does not yet appear what we shall be. But, oh, hallelujah, because you're here, we're looking forward to your will. So now, oh, God, please move your people out of my way. Move me out of their way so that you can have your way. Holy Spirit, I yield to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Our scriptures are found in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. And if not, look on your index. It'll give you the exact page number where to find it. It will. Praise God. Praise God. God has given us everything that we need that pertains unto life and godliness, including an index in our Bibles. Hallelujah. Take nothing for granted. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. I'll be reading from the New Revised Standard, and I'll be reading verses 3 through 8a. Ephesians chapter 1. Hear the word of the Lord. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. I'd like to talk with you for a few minutes about God's glorious grace. God's glorious grace. Let me give you a little background first. Ephesians has been called the grandest of all the Pauline letters. The pastor and theologian John MacArthur states, Ephesians has been given such titles as the believer's bank, the Christian's checkbook, and the treasure house of the Bible. Everybody gonna run right out and read it this afternoon. Say, okay. Ephesians is not a letter to the church at Ephesus, but it is considered a circular letter because Paul wrote it to all the churches in Asia Minor, in the region of Ephesus, and not just to the church there. He was in prison when he wrote this letter or epistle. A letter, another name for a letter, is epistle. Epistles are not the wives of the apostles. We hear that in a little joke circle. Yeah, yeah. Praise Jesus. But that's why this letter is known as one of Paul's prison epistles, one of his prison letters, one that he wrote while he was in prison. Now, there's good news in this letter for believers everywhere, in every generation. In this letter, which encompasses six chapters in our Bible, is just about everything a Christian needs to know, from how we were saved, what we used to be, God's plan for us as Gentiles, how Christians can have unity and become mature, how a Christian family should function, and even how to wage spiritual warfare. There are some that recommend this letter be the first thing a new convert or a new believer reads. We're talking about God's glorious grace, and it's powerfully revealed in this short book. Unfortunately, saints, there are so many today that believe, like my neighbor from years ago, that there's no way God would choose them out of all the people in the world to go to heaven one day. What my neighbor and those that think like her are referring to is what is known as the doctrine of predestination, that God predetermined who would be saved. The opposite belief, then, is that God predetermined who would be lost. The difference boils down to this: who has the ultimate choice in salvation, God or man? After all, we do have free will, right? Lest we be here all day, it is my pleasure to inform you that you can learn this doctrine in detail at the Redeemer Institute for Christian Education. So I'll end this part of our discussion with Deuteronomy 29:29, which simply says, the secret things belong to God. The fact that we will deal with today is that God chose us. Oh, hallelujah. John 6:44 says, no one can come to the Father, can come to Jesus except through the Father. He has to draw us. I don't know all the ways he draws us, but each one of us can look back and find a number of times that we rejected some truth about him or heaven or some truth about salvation. Nevertheless, God kept at it. That's grace, y'all. That's God's glorious grace. Amen? Think about it. How many times would we allow ourselves to be rejected before we just kick the person to the curb? God's grace is glorious. Just what is grace? Grace in the New Testament means favor, blessing, or kindness. But when we add God to it, as one commentator notes, it takes on a more powerful meaning. Grace is God choosing to bless us rather than curse us as our sin deserves. It is his benevolence, his kindness to the undeserving. Simply put, the grace of God, or shall we say God's glorious grace, is us getting what we don't deserve. Big time. I said big time. That's grace on steroids. Oh, hallelujah. When we look at ourselves, because Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God through Jesus Christ, our Lord, thank you, The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's talking about God's glorious grace. Like I said, it's big time. Anybody in here that didn't sin? Anybody in here not a guilty sinner? So that's why I said it's big time that God saved us. Amen. That's a big deal. That's a very big deal. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. For those of you who are still not convinced that God wants you, have you ever checked out what God's word says? Holy Spirit, we need you right now to give understanding. Thank you. Let's look at a few verses. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And our text today says, he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, before he said his first, let there be, God chose us. Oh, come on now. Look how marvelous creation is. Before he said, let there be anything. Oh, hallelujah. We were on his mind and he chose us. Oh, hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. And he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. In love, y'all, he did this in love for us. The scripture says he chose us. Just who is the us that God chose? The us that he loved. John 3:16 and 17. For God so loved the world. Who's that again? The world. Sounds like that includes Lottie, Dottie, and everybody. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Did we believe because God chose us? Or did he choose us because he knew we would believe? Therein lies the rub, indeed. But that's God's lane, and I'm getting out of it. Verse 17. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I said the world. Oh, hallelujah. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise. What promise? The promise of his second coming. As some understand slowness, because the people were saying, yeah, we heard all this stuff. He's coming. He's coming. Big whoop. He ain't come yet. Let's eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. No, right. He's coming. He said, God is not slow in keeping his promise. Instead, he's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish without him, but everyone to come to repentance. That's why he's taking his time. Amen. Because somebody in your family and somebody in my family and somebody on our block, somebody in the cul-de-sac on the job is still not saved. Now let's back up the train right here. God chose us before the foundation of the world, which simply means he chose us before he created the world. And he did this because he loves us with a love we will never be able to understand. But our text says, not only did he choose us, but he chose us to be holy and blameless before him. Holy means set apart, distinct, sanctified. When we came to Christ, God set us apart from unbelievers. Oh, yes, he did. Oh, yes, he did. And God wants us to recognize that distinction and demonstrate it. We're going to say that again. Somebody missed it back there. When we came to Christ, God set us apart from unbelievers. We were no longer the same. From one instant when we got saved, we were no longer the same. Now, we acted the same, especially when we first got saved. Sure, we did. But we were still set apart. Amen. We were still sanctified. That's what that means. We were still being made holy by God. And God wants us to recognize that distinction and demonstrate it. 1 Peter 1:16 says, "Be ye holy as I am holy. Be ye set apart as I am set apart." As Israel obeyed God's commandments, they were demonstrating to the rest of the world that they were God's people. And as such, they were not like everyone else. And so they did not blend in with the culture of the day. They became holy, set apart for God. Not perfect, set apart. Not perfect, set apart. Now, blameless. One commentator says, we should understand that to be blameless does not mean to be sinless. But it does mean that we live in such a way that we are not able to be accused. We should always live in such a way that if anyone makes an accusation against us, our testimony is believed before any false accusation. Our integrity, our reputation should speak for itself. Blameless, not sinless. Back to our text, verse 5. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. My first pastor used to say, if salvation cost, black folks wouldn't have been able to buy it. Praise God that it's freely bestowed on us in the beloved, in Jesus. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. What does this mean? Let's go back to the word. We do know that the word does explain the word. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, amen. The word explains the word. Got to come to the Redeemer Institute for Christian Education. Praise you, Lord. John 1, 12 to 13 says, but as many as received him, as many as received Jesus Christ, to them he gave the right. Come on now, think about these words, y'all. To them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. But as many as received Jesus Christ, as many as he destined for adoption as his children, he gave the right to become children of God to those who believe in his name. Oh, you are somebody. One just Jesse Jackson told me, I'm somebody. We are somebody. Amen. We are children of the Most High God. I don't care what our last names are, because we got some drama hooked up with that last name. I don't care nothing about us going to the Church of the Redeemer Baptist. No, we are somebody. We are children of God. In spite of our past. Ooh, hallelujah, Lord. Romans 8, 15 and 16 says, for you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is the very spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And how many times have you been somewhere and you bypassed a stranger or something, and your spirit bore witness with them that they are also saved? Because it's all about the spirit, y'all. Look at God's glorious grace. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Talking about building up your self-esteem, meditate on these verses every day and watch God change what it is that you think about yourself. Think that you are a chosen people. A royal. We are royalty. We're not gonna be royalty. We are royalty. That child got married and she's a duchess, but we are children, royalty of the Most High God. That duchess title is gonna fade. It's gonna go away, but we always gonna be children of God. We're always gonna be royalty. Oh, hallelujah. God's special possession. A holy nation, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And so we're not just these called out ones, these chosen ones for just for nothing, but that we might declare the praises of God. Tell other people about him, about his glorious grace, about, yes, Jesus saves. Amen. All that God has done was because of the truths we find in the rest of the text, which says, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the beloved, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. Before I explain that lavish, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Guilty, but not, he said. Guilty, not guilty. We were guilty, he said, but not guilty. And then he lavished his grace on us. Lavish means to bestow something in generous or extravagant quantities upon. Something thickly or liberally with. What expresses this best is a line from that song, What a Beautiful Name by Hillsong. And it says, my sin was great, your love was greater. What can separate us now? That's talking about God's glorious grace and how he lavished it on us. Because our sin was great, but his love was greater. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. One commentator I was reading, just reviewing some stuff this morning, it said about when you're getting into the Greek, it's talking about how his grace was in superabundance. And when he lavished it upon us, then it was even more superabundant. I mean, this is stuff that we can't fathom in our minds. That's why we got to get new bodies and these new everything so we can process all this spiritual truth. Amen. I am sure each one of us can say to the Lord today, thank you for choosing me, for loving me, all of me, warts and all. Thanks for going past everything ugly in me. And when you saw me, actually the real me, the selfish, self-centered, rebellious, and egotistical parts of me, the unforgiving heart that still wants somebody to pay for what happened to me. The silly, childish part of me that thinks that if I hide under the covers, somehow I can hide from you. As you saw the abuser in me, not a physical abuser, but one who abuses by manipulating others, by being secretly jealous and covetous. As you gazed upon those aspects of me that I keep hidden from the rest of the world, you see me, and it is your grace, your glorious grace, that keeps on loving me to my knees, where I begin to cry out, Abba, Father, which means Daddy God, the only real lover of my soul. And how? Why do you keep loving me, keep blessing me, keep forgiving me? You know every secret thing about me, what I did, with whom, where I went, and what I said when I did that thing that's so despicable I've never even told my best friend. You were there when I cheated on my wife with her sister. You were there when I cheated on my husband with a complete stranger. Only you and I know that my baby isn't. Well, Lord, you know. You stopped me from killing you know who when I was so wasted out of my mind and was blind with rage. And when me and my siblings were left alone and our mama went out, you know I broke her favorite glass because she always gave all the attention to everyone but me. I don't know how you do it, God. If I was you, I wouldn't choose anybody like me. But you did. As a matter of fact, it seems like you only choose folk that are messed up or have made a bunch of mistakes. And it doesn't make sense. It's because of your glorious grace that caused you to choose me before you even created the world. Your glorious grace that has called me, even me, to become holy, set apart for your use. Your glorious grace that chose me to become blameless in your sight. We were guilty. We are guilty. And we will be guilty again. But God, your glorious grace is amazing. Ephesians 2, 8 and 10 in the New Living says, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. God's glorious grace brought us this far. His glorious grace is going to take us the rest of the way. If we trusted him with our souls, why not trust him with everything else? We like to go around with all our Christian sayings like, won't he do it? But won't he do it? Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at all those other circumstances, situations, diagnoses, last warnings, pink slips, divorces, betrayals, and all kinds of other rigmarole. But he did it, didn't he? He saw us through. He brought us out. He cleaned us up, making us holy, set apart for his purposes. He's not going to change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he said he will do, he will do. And there's a lot of things that ain't in that Bible that he's done too. Oh, hallelujah. God's glorious grace. As we stand today, the question is, have you received God's glorious grace? It comes by way of salvation, by way of giving your life to God through his son, Jesus Christ. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then Acts 4, 12 says, nor is there salvation in any other. It's what the word says. You stop thinking your cousin in that other religion going to heaven. Wrong answer. Nor is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And if you're not saved today, you don't even realize how much of God's glorious grace he has imparted into your life. From the time that we came down the birth canal, he was demonstrating his grace. Some babies die in that birth canal, but we survive. Nobody flushed us down the toilet. Nobody went to the abortion clinic and took away our life. That's God's glorious grace. Don't you ever think your life doesn't have purpose. God kept us alive for a purpose. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Before the very foundation of the world, God chose you. And if you're not saved today, come on down here and give your life to the Lord. And then you can find out how much more of his glorious grace he will demonstrate in your life. Praise the Lord. Deacons, come. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord.
Because of you, I want to thank you and praise you too.
He's worthy.